Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Stand with me and let's give the Lord a prayer and a shout and a praise, and then we'll get right into the Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. We ask you to open your Word to us. Let us learn something today and go out of here with some insight, some understanding, and some knowledge today that we didn't come in with. Help us to understand there are consequences with being a hypocrite. So I ask you to help us, lead us, and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody says amen. And give him a shout and a hand clap. Be seated. Okay. Dokey. Well, we're in our series. The series is titled Dealing with Difficult People, Handling Difficult People. And today we're going to be talking about hypocrites. Handling a hypocrite. How many of you think you might know a hypocrite? Somebody who says they're a Christian, but when you really kind of start investigating, you find out they don't act like a Christian. How many might know a hypocrite? That's good? Okay. How many will be really honest and really mature and say, well, you know what, Delbert? Since I've been a Christ follower, I've probably done some things and said some things that I shouldn't have done and shouldn't have said, which would make me a hypocrite too. How many might say that you could possibly be hypocritical sometimes? Good, good. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, you need a demon of lying cast out of you, because at the very least, you've said something about someone you shouldn't have said, and you've done something that you shouldn't have done since you became a Christian. So this kind of how did you heard about the guy, haven't you? Maybe you know him. He's the guy that won't come to church because of all the hypocrites, right? Well, next time you talk to that guy, tell him, come on, there's always room for one more. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. You see, dealing with hypocritical people or a hypocritical person is just like all the other ones that we've studied in our series with critical people or overly needy people or manipulative people. These people we all can relate to because we all do it sometimes. We've all been critical at some time in our life. We've all been overly needy. We've all been manipulative in our lives. But we don't live there. You know, we're not like majorly there. It doesn't control us. It doesn't consume us. We're not full of that, even though from time to time we do it. It's that way with critical people, hypocritical people as well. A hypocrite is something that we all do, but we don't live there. And a term that I want to really use today and kind of make us kind of grasp it is we're not belligerently hypocritical. We're not belligerent hypocrites. In other words, we don't do it like all the time. And understanding that will lead us to our first point we need to understand about handling a hypocrite, handling a hypocritical person. So if you've got your Bibles, let's study God's Word together. Open up to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. It's also going to be on the screen for you. But we always want to study God's Word. So let me read you this verse in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus here dealing with hyper-hypocrites, belligerent hypocrites. So it says in Matthew 23, verse 23, it says, how terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law. Now, notice here that Jesus is here speaking to people who say they have a relationship with God. They say they have a relationship with the Lord, and they should know better than to be hypocrites because they're teachers of the law. He says, how terrible it will be for you, you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. You are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the important things. I need you to say back to me, important things. Important things. You ignore the important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe. Jesus is saying you should do the basics. If you really have a relationship with the Lord, then you're going to do the basics. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. Say more important things back to me. More important things. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see here is Jesus is sort of differentiating and separating some lesser important things from some more important things. And see, so he says, you leave undone the more important things, blind guides. You say you're a leader, you lead this group or you lead that or you do this or you do that, but actually you're blind. You're a blind guide. And Jesus says, well, if you're blind, then whoever you're leading, everybody's going to fall in the ditch. He says, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat. Then you swallow a camel. Now, I love his picture here, don't you? Here are these guys, they're straining water so they won't get a little tiny thing that really doesn't matter into their system. But then they'll turn around and they'll gobble up a hairy, nasty, dirty camel. And this is what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying what a hypocrite will do is they'll strain at something that's really not important, but then they'll gobble up something that is important. They'll allow something that is important, but they'll won't allow something, you know, that doesn't matter. I mean, what they're doing is they're majoring on minors. Jesus didn't major on minors. Jesus majored on majors. Which takes us to the first point on your back of your gateway, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are. The first thing that I want you to understand about handling a hypocrite, a hypocritical person, is that the first thing you need to know is that you only confront majors. Only confront majors. Jesus didn't major on gnats. Jesus is referencing here what a hypocrite will do is major on this little bitty thing, and in their life they got this great old big thing going on themselves. Jesus majored on majors. Now that's why I use the term belligerent. We all commit acts from time to time of hypocrisy, but we don't live there. We're not belligerent hypocrites. What we do in church so much now, and ever since I've been in church, is we nitpick. Christians talk about Christians, and we talk about things that really don't matter. Gnats. We major on gnats so many times. Let me give you just a few things that I've been gnatted with since I started doing this. For 21 years now, you got to realize, for 21 years we've been doing this. We've been a charismatic church. We've been a church that's non-traditional. We know we've been a contemporary church for my whole time, 21 years. And so I've experienced a lot of things. We were contemporary when it wasn't fashionable to be contemporary. You know what I mean? I mean, we were it. We were the only one around here, and we got blasted a lot. So here's one of the first things that I remember getting blasted about and gnatted with. It's the way people dress to come to church. I was approached one time. You let people come to church and they're not dressed their best. And what was amazing to me about this is that these were people in the church that was approaching me with this. And they would come to me and I'm saying, how do you know they're not dressed in their best? You don't know these people that well, right? And I thought God looked at the heart, not at the outward adorning, right? And majorly, though, what difference does that make? I'm just glad they're here, right? And then another thing that I've been blasted about so much is our music and the instruments that we... Now, remember now, this was 21 years ago when it wasn't fashionable to be contemporary. Now, a lot of them's caught up with us and passed us now. We got to kick it in gear a little bit. We got to get out there again. But right now, you know, we're not that weird. But I used to get blasted. I remember walking in my office one day and there was a message on my answering machine. Now, remember, we used to have the television ministry. And so this guy had seen the television program and he had left me this message on my answering machine. And it went something like this. You play that devil music in your church. In the house of God, you playing that devil music. You using them guitars. You using them drums in the house of God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm thinking, and I'm going off. You know, I'm talking to the answering machine. You idiot. You know. He didn't leave me a number. And good thing. And anyway, you know, and I'm going off. And I'm saying, you know, read your Bible, guy. You know, Psalms 150 says, praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him with the stringed instruments. Now, the last time I looked, they got strings, right? Praise him with the stringed instruments. Praise him with the psaltery in the harp. Now, a harp we know has strings. But a psaltery is a drum. What a psaltery was is a skin filled with water, and they beat on it. And it was a drum. And then not just praise him with the cymbals, but with the high sounding. In other words, beat on them things and make them loud. That's what the Bible says. And it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and everything that doesn't, evidently, but let everything praise God. And I'm thinking, what is this, you know? Well, I'd like to know what's going on in your life. You're blasting me because you're nagging me because the way we play music. I wonder what's going on in you, you know? And another thing is, of course, the translations I use. Now, we live in the Bible Belt, so this is sort of to be expected, you know. But I've always gotten blasted of the different translations that I use. And I'm going to try to relate it to you best I can. If I can tell you a story to relate it to, you read a different translation. Kind of like what Jesus did. You know, Jesus would come in it this way and this way. So I'm going to try to get it across to you. But honestly, this is a true story. I was in my office. My office was down in the other building at that time. And I heard a knock on my door, and I went to the door, and there was this woman standing there. I said, Pastor Young, can I speak to you just a minute? I said, certainly, come on in. So she came in, and she said, I was watching your television program, and I noticed that you're using these other translations. And you know that the King James Version is the only authorized version of the Bible. And that's the one you should use, and you really need to stop using those other translations. And I thought I was going to say something that was going to help her, just make her think, you know. And I said, I wasn't really trying to be smart, I was just trying to get her to think. I said, is that the one that Jesus used? And to my surprise, this is the truth, the woman said, yes, it is, and you know it is. True story. Well, there's no reason in arguing with this woman, right? And I'm thinking, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. You know, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus majored on minors. Jesus never talked about what people wore to worship. He never talked about the musical instruments or the songs that were sang while they worshiped. He was just glad they worshiped, right? And he certainly never talked about the translations that you used. So, you know, we in the church, we nitpick and we major on minors. And Jesus says, if you're going to address things that are hypocritical, at least major on majors when you do this. So, you know, I think that's so important as the first point. Jesus confronted hypocrisy, but he did it by majoring on major. So what did Jesus confront? What were the things that were major to him? Let me give you a few really fast. I can't spend time here just to let you know. One thing that Jesus majored on was the teaching. He says, you teach the kingdom of God wrong. He says, you teach the kingdom of God futuristically. You teach it like it's something that people can't enter, and you shut it up to people, and you yourself can't enter into it because you teach it falsely. He that was a major to him. And another thing he says is, you do all this evangelism, you proselyte, you go across the land and the sea to get one proselyte, one convert, and then by your teachings, you make them twice the son or daughter of hell that you are. Those are the things that Jesus majored on. What were going into people? What the teaching was putting into people? He majored on the way the outward appearance looked versus the inward appearance. On the outward appearance, and this is in Matthew chapter 23, if you want to check me out. He's got 6 or 8, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites there, if you want to see what he majored on. He got out of them about the way they looked outwardly. He says, You're a grave is what you are. On the outside, you're all painted white. You're a sepulcher that's all painted white. But on the inside, you're nothing but death. On the inside, it's just dead man's bones and hypocrisy and wickedness. Let me read you this one. It's in Matthew chapter 23, verse 28. It says there, in the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy. Now see, I want to make sure we get that part. All of us have a little hypocrisy in us. All of us do some things from time to time that we shouldn't do, and we know we shouldn't do them. But these people, a hypocrite is full of hypocrisy. It's the way of their life. It's what they do. And so they're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Jesus confronted, he dealt with, he addressed people that would talk about people. If he got mad at the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites because they would put down and talk about men and women of God. That's what he called them, you snakes, you generation of vipers. What are you doing? He says, these people are trying to do right, and you're poisoning people about people that are really sincere and trying to do what's right about God. These are the things. Jesus majored on majors. He didn't major on minors. And so when we're dealing with hypocrites, we got to really realize, is this something that I really need to deal with? Is this something that's really worth getting into it with this person? Which leads me to number 2 on the back of your gateway, if you want to fill this one in as well. And I hope you do, because we all encounter hypocrites. Number 2, only confront those who give people a reason. Give a, and I'm going to show you just a minute, it's a great reason. Give a people a reason to despise and blaspheme the Lord. What Jesus would do is if it was something that was causing people to despise and blaspheme the Lord, the enemies of God, people that weren't Christ followers, it was giving them a good reason to talk about the church, he would address it. Now, all of us, sometimes we deal with, should I talk to this person about being a hypocrite or not? You know, well, and so we kind of wrestle with should we or should we not, or how we do it, or whatever. But before we do, let me just give you this. Like in all the other ones, it's not difficult to find critical people in the Bible. It's not difficult to find overly needy people in the Bible. It's not difficult to find manipulative people in the Bible. It's not difficult to find them. And it's even less difficult to find hypocrites in the Bible. The amazing thing about finding hypocrites in the Bible is that these are major players. Actually, if we're given enough information about any person, we'll find where they did something that we would consider hypocrisy. Let me throw some of them out to you so that you'll get my idea. Like Noah. Noah was tremendously used of God, right? I mean, used to maintain humanity. God tremendously used Noah. But if you read about the story of Noah, you'll find him in his tent, sloppy, passed out, drunk. Naked. In his tent. Wiped out. Passed out. Becomes a mockery to his family. That doesn't sound like somebody who's a godly person. Doesn't sound like what they would do, does it? How about Abraham and Hagar? You know, Abraham's called the father of the faithful. But you know what he did? He had sexual relationships with a servant girl, a slave girl, and had a baby. Does that sound like what the father of the faithful would do? How about Lot? Now, the New Testament calls Lot righteous Lot. But if you read the story about Lot, what you'll find is he had incest. He got drunk and had incest with his daughters and had children through his daughters. Righteous Lot? My goodness. Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob stole his brother's birthright and was the first person in the lineage of Christ that was a polygamist. Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, Judah, went and solicited a prostitute who was disguised and was actually his own daughter-in-law and had a child with her. How about Samson? Samson had all kind of female problems. Samson and Delilah. And these are major players. These are people in the Bible that were major players. But when you study it enough and you learn enough, you find out that these people have hypocritical things going on in their life. New Testament, the great Apostle Peter. Great Apostle Peter denied the Lord, come on, 3 times. I've never done that. He denied the Lord 3 times and used cursings and profanities while he did it. There's a story in the Bible in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians about a church-going man. Obviously, he attended church faithfully and regularly. But what this guy was doing was having sexual relationships with his father's wife. I don't know if it was his stepmother or his mother. So what I'm trying to get us to see is that if we're given enough information about anybody in the Bible, we'll find something in there that we could interpret as being a hypocrite. But here's my point in saying all of that, is that in some of that, God dealt with specifically. Some of it, God dealt with specifically, but with most of it, he never addressed. He never confronted them. He never addressed it. Why is that? Why did God not address these things? Here's why. Number 3 on the back of your gateway. This is one of the ones I really want you to get. Is every hypocrisy has a built-in consequence. I want you to say that back to me. Every hypocrisy has a built-in consequence, but not every hypocrisy was not confronted. What God would do is let the consequence be the confronter. For example, Samson was never confronted by God. God never confronted Samson about Delilah or anything else that he did. But the consequences did. How bad were the consequences that Samson faced? He became slave to that hypocrisy. He lost his vision. His eyes were plucked out because of that hypocrisy. He actually lost his life because of that hypocrisy. There are consequences to every hypocrisy. Every single one has a built-in consequence. The Bible tells us a really interesting story about what I call a very revered person and a royal hypocrite. A revered royal hypocrite. Now, that kind of sounds strange, doesn't it? But David was royalty. He was a king. And David was a royal hypocrite. The Bible talks about how it was time for war and how the kings would go to war. It was springtime. In other words, it wasn't winter. And it was a time where they could go and they wouldn't freeze to death out there fighting. And so they were going to war. And instead of David going to war, what David did was stay home at his palace. And he sent Joab and the army out. Well, the way houses and the palace was built in those days, the roof was flat. And so in the evening time or at night time, the person living in the place would go up and have some cool air and just walk around. And I imagine that David's palace would have been a great place to go in prayer. And I'm sure he went up there and prayed sometimes. Probably went up there and wrote some of the psalms that he wrote. He went up on top of the house this particular night, where, and I don't know what his purpose was or intentions were, but while he was up there, he happened to notice this woman, this beautiful woman, bathing outside. Her name was Bathsheba. She was married to a man named Uriah. Now, Uriah was a soldier in David's army, and he was off fighting for the kingdom, off fighting for David. So David invites Bathsheba to come into his palace. And she responded. I'm going to fall off of this thing. And she responded, and she came. And, of course, they slept together that night, and Bathsheba became pregnant with David's child. Now, to cover it up, David said, I'm going to send for Uriah. I'm going to get Uriah to come back and let him have relationships with his wife, and then he'll think that he's the father of the baby. That was his plan. That was his cover-up. Well, Uriah did come back, but Uriah refused to go sleep with Bathsheba. He said, it's not right for me to go and have pleasure with my wife and everybody else out there battling for the kingdom. I'm not going to do it. And he didn't do it. So David devised another plan to cover up his hypocrisy. What David did is he told Joab, he says, listen, when you go into battle, he says, pull everybody back. Let Uriah stay out there in the front and let him be killed. And that's exactly what happened. They attacked, they pulled back. And then the enemy came out and they killed Uriah. Well, David thought it was all covered up. And what happened is after the time of mourning of Uriah, David took Bathsheba and added her to his harem and thought it was all covered up. How many think that David is a hypocrite? Let me see. David wrote all these psalms talking about praising God and worshiping the Lord and all of these wonderful psalms. David brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the whole earth back to Jerusalem. David ran through the streets of Jerusalem, running and praising and worshiping God with all of his might, the Bible said. He established the tabernacle of David. David was such he planned the temple of God and he funded it so that Solomon could build it. I mean, David did all of these wonderful things, but David took another man's wife and killed him, had him killed. David did a very hypocritical thing. And the guy was so bad is that the guy was out there fighting for David, honoring David. Well, David thought he had it all covered up, but every consequent, every hypocrisy has a what? Right, a built-in consequence. So God, the Bible says, was very displeased with David. And so he sent a prophet named Nathan. And he sent the prophet to Nathan. He sent Nathan the prophet to David with a story. He said, I want you to tell David this story. It's a story about two men, a very rich man and a very poor man. The very rich man had all these cattle, had all these sheep, had all this going on in his life, very wealthy person. And the poor man had only one little lamb. He worked hard so he could have this one little lamb. And he raised this little lamb. And he loved this little lamb. And then one day, the rich man had a guest, and he wanted to throw him a big feast. And so the rich man wanted to throw this guest a big feast. And so what he did is instead of getting one of his lambs that he had many of, he went and took the poor man's one little lamb and had it. When David heard the story, this is what the Bible says. Let me read it to you. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 5. It says, David was furious. He said this, "As surely as the Lord lives," he vowed, "any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the hypocrite." It's amazing to me how we can see the hypocrisy in everybody else, but not see our own, or at least not want to see our own. It's always amazing to me. And this hypocrisy had consequences, and those consequences haunted David for the rest of his days. Not only did it haunt David, but it had such a horrible effect on his children, on his family. I've known men and women of God who are still suffering today from hypocrisies they did years and years ago. And it had a tremendously bad effect on their families. Let me read this to you. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. It says, "But you have given the enemies of the Lord a great opportunity." What kind of opportunity? A great opportunity to despise and blaspheme him. So, your child will die. One of the consequences was the death of the child. Do I think that God killed the child? Oh, no. I think Bathsheba had a tough time with this birthing. I think there was stress involved and all the stuff going on in her life. It was a consequence of the hypocrisy. It's so sad because belligerent hypocrisy gives people a great opportunity to despise and blaspheme the Lord. We all come in contact with belligerent hypocrites. All of us do. Maybe at work, you know a person. Maybe he's a deacon in the church, or maybe she's a Sunday school teacher. But you know people that say they're Christians and they talk the language on the outside, but you watch their lives and you hear them curse and use profanities and tell God-awful jokes. You watch them as they steal from the company. You watch them lay out of work. You watch their lives and you see these horrific things going on. Maybe for you guys, you students, maybe it's a student at school that says they're a youth leader. But you watch their lives and you see them cheat on tests. You see them curse and use profanities. You know that on the weekends they booze it up. They stick a little dope on the side. You know they're rebellious to their parents. Yet they say, or maybe it's the preacher. Preachers can be hypocrites. You know, they praise the Lord, get your hands up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Then the guy goes home and he's mean to his family. He roughs them up, talks bad to them, abuses them mentally and physically. Has pornography in his desk drawer. Or maybe it's Miss Churchgoer. Now, Miss Churchgoer, we all know Miss Churchgoer. Miss Churchgoer is she has a Bible as big as a Volkswagen. And she carries this Bible around with her. She talks in tongues and she prophesies. Miss Churchgoer, always there. But she's critical of everybody and everything. She can pick apart people for their sins. She stays on the phone nearly every day talking to anybody that'll listen about anybody in town, gossiping. We all run across people like this. We all meet people. So how do you deal with them? How do you handle these people, these hypocrites? Well, number one, only confront majors. Number two, only confront those who give people a reason to despise and blaspheme the Lord. And then number three, realize every hypocrisy has built-in consequences. And number four on the back of your gateway, fill this in. Number four, be careful. Be careful. When you're dealing with an hypocrite, you be careful. The Apostle Paul deals with this. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. And I want to read it to you. It says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another Christian," so what he's talking here is about churchgoers, people that go to church, "if another Christian is overcome by some sin," in other words, they're full of sin. This sin has taken them. It's a major in their lives now. It's something that gives other people an opportunity, a great opportunity, to blaspheme the Lord. If this person is overcome in this sin, it's not a minor thing, it's a major thing, by some sin, "you who are godly," at the time, we should add, you got it together right now. "You are godly, should gently and humbly," I need you to say that back to me, "gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." And say it, "be careful." Say it again. "Be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ." It's interesting to me that he says, "be careful, be careful." Have you ever noticed that that people who are hypocritical and they judge other people, they are always trying to uncover and find faults and wrongs with other people, are usually people not too long afterwards that their own faults and their own wrongs are revealed. This happens all the time. It happened this past week. But anyway, I remember years and years back when there was a very, very well-known preacher, very revered and a great preacher. He so wanted to uncover and confront another preacher's hypocrisy. And he did. He stayed after it until he did it. He uncovered another pastor's hypocrisy. But the story didn't end there, just like it didn't end with David when he tried to cover his up. What happened with this particular preacher is that not long afterwards, his own hypocrisy was uncovered. And not only was it as bad, to me, it was far worse than the first preachers that he uncovered. You'll notice this all the time, and I could go on and on and on with these things. I mean, I've seen it happen so much. And the only reason that I'm saying anything about it at all is simply because I want you to be aware of it. See, when people begin to criticize and judge others, they themselves put themselves into a position of being criticized and judged. In other words, if I'm going to take you and shove you up under a microscope, that microscope is so big that I have to put myself under it as well. And I begin to be looked at for the very thing that I'm looking at you towards. And I become very, very vulnerable to that very thing that I'm judging you with. And you'll find that people that are overly critical and overly judgmental in a specific area are struggling with that specific thing in their own lives. And probably something much, much worse. And so Paul says here, you become very vulnerable. And if your heart's not right, and if you're not gentle, and you're not going about this thing in the right way, and you don't have a pure heart, and you're just doing it to judge and make somebody look bad, you better be careful. Because that thing is going to come on you. It's a fact. It's how it works, folk. It works this way. It's planned this way. That's why Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." So he gives us a gauge, Paul does. You know, this is what I want you to see. Is that how do you do this then? Okay, yeah, I really want to help somebody, but I don't want to make sure I'm not judging them. So Paul gives us this gauge. He says, you got to be willing to commit to the person. You got to be willing to commit your time. You got to be willing to commit your money. You got to be willing to commit to the person to get them back on the right path. If you're not willing to commit to get them back on the right path with your time and with your money, you're being a hypocrite yourself, because all you're doing is trying to judge them and make them look bad. You see, so much of the confronting of hypocrisy that we do today isn't to really help anybody. It's to make them look bad so we'll somehow think we're going to look better. We bring them down, and somehow we got it in our heads that that's going to make us look better. And no, no, no. You better have the right idea. We do it with pride. We can do it with a ha-ha-ha, gotcha attitude. And the next thing you know is all of a sudden our lives are falling apart. And so what Paul says is you better be careful. If you're going to judge, you better check your heart. Is your heart pure? You can tell if it's pure. Are you willing to help this person get back to where they need to be? Are you willing to commit your time? Are you willing to commit the money? Are you willing to commit whatever is necessary to get this person back to where they need to be? If you're not, you better shut your mouth. You better shut it up and let the consequences take care of it. You say, you don't have to judge anybody. There are built-in consequences. But sometimes we just want to help somebody. We want to help them get out of this thing. And so if it is, then you go with it humbly. And you go through it with mercy. And you go through it gently. And you approach this person and you commit to this person. But don't you go judging. Because you're going to find your life will fall apart even worse. So how do you deal with hypocrites? How do you deal with hypocritical people? Here we go. Here's what you do. Number one, only confront majors. Number two, only confront those who give people a reason to despise and blaspheme the Lord. Number three, realize every hypocrisy has a built-in consequence. And then number four, be careful. Are there hypocrites in the church? Is the church full of hypocrites? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Full. Just like the Bible. Just like the Bible. But hear what I'm going to say. The church still remains the most powerful, life-transforming power in the whole world. Nothing changes lives like the church. Be there or be there not, hypocrites. It's still the most powerful transformation force in the world. But is it full? Is it full of belligerent hypocrites? No. We have some. We have some royal ones. But no, it's not full of belligerent hypocrites. That's how you handle it. Make sure you have a right heart. And make sure you're going about it with the right idea. Be gentle. Be humble. I want to pray for people now. Maybe, you know, you got somebody that you're really wanting to help, and you're trying to determine whether you should approach them or not. I want to pray for you just in a minute that you'll have wisdom as you attempt to help this person. But maybe you know that you're a belligerent hypocrite, that you've got something in your life. You got something in your life that's belligerent. You got to understand there's consequences. Let me pray for you, and then I got one other group of people that I want to pray for. How many of you have somebody that you would really like to help, that you know they do a lot of hypocritical things and you really would like to help them? Would you raise your hand if you have somebody? I see your hands. Okay, now I'm not going to ask the others if you think you are a hypocrite. You know if you're hiding something. I'm going to pray for you, though, still, that you'll realize there's consequences. Father, right now I pray for these people. Father, I ask you to bless them. Father, for those that really want to help others, Father, I pray that this lesson's been instrumental for them, that they'll only confront those things that are major, that, Father, they will do it, Lord God. They'll confront it when it's only causing blasphemy and causing people to despise the Lord and despise the kingdom and despise the church. Father, I pray that they'll remind the people that there's always consequences to their hypocrisy. But most of all, Father, I pray for these people that they're careful, that they'll do it with the right heart, a pure heart. They'll do it gently, and I ask you to bless them now. Now, Father, for those that know they're being hypocrites, Father, I pray you reveal to them there are consequences with every hypocrisy, that every single hypocrisy has a built-in consequence. And I pray, Lord God, they'll escape from it before it does damage. And I ask you to bless them. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And maybe you got away from the Lord, or maybe you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ because of all the hypocrites in church. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to tell you a quick story. See, my daddy was that way. My daddy used to go to church. He used to minister. But then he got all messed up with the hypocrites. People started talking about him, talking about my mom, talking about different things. And so he totally got out of church. And Daddy nearly lost his salvation, his relationship. He did lose his relationship with the Lord because of that. What I want you to hear me say is this, is that if you're not coming to church or you're not serving the Lord because of all the hypocrites, don't let them influence your life. Don't let them stop your salvation. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood on that horrible cross so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have salvation, and so that you could have a great life. You can go out of this place today exactly like you came in it, not changed. Just heard some people, somebody talk. Or you can go out of here totally transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can start your life tending upward right now. If that's you, you've been overwhelmed by the hypocrisy. And it's influenced you, and it's caused you to check and maybe get distance from the Lord and affect your own personal salvation. But you're ready to make a change today, and you're ready to get back where you know you should be with the Lord Jesus Christ and get your life going the way it should be to affect you and your family in a positive way. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now where you're sitting. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you right where you are. I'm not going to make you come down here. I'm just going to recognize you where you are right now, and I just want to bless you. I see your hand. Any others? Any others? Come on. I see it. Any others? See your hands in the back? Any other? Any others? Give the Lord just a minute. Father, I bless them now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll get our eyes off of people and get our eyes on you. And we'll let you, Lord, be the thing we focus upon and not the hypocrisies of others. Father, I pray this lesson has been meaningful, and I pray our series has been good. And I ask you now to impart this wisdom into all of us so that we can handle difficult people. I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Stand up with me. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen.